Welcome to the Kinky Cast, a sexually explicit podcast for adults. You are listening to a weekly publication, produced every Friday morning. This is our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Today, we present episode 375, The Woods on Voyeurism. Don't forget to stop by our webpage for information about this show and others. KinkyCast.com. With the coronavirus being active, please practice social distancing. Here's your host, Woody.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Online with me from Minneapolis, Minnesota is a lovely couple, Ginger Curly M. Wood and Morning Wood. How are you guys tonight?
Great.
Great. Thanks.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me. Reading your FET profile caught my interest. You guys are into voyeurism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That always piques my interest.
Well, it's a broad term. And I think that when you come right down to it, pretty much everybody that we know in FET, even though they may not identify themselves as such, is a voyeur. And it's probably some degree of voyeurism that drew you into the community just to see, are there other people like me? I think that a lot of us come into this asking the question, am I really normal to want the things that I want? And it's kind of fun to get into the community and see, no, you're not alone. There's a lot of people like you and me and everybody else that's here. Though your kinks and joys and things may be different. That's true. That said, we love going to parties, and we kind of hop the boundary between play parties, swinger parties, educational parties, BDSM parties. We enjoy it all.
We just like to watch people enjoy themselves.
That's a wonderful thing. On the show, we've said many times that people write me and say, am I normal? Is what I'm thinking normal, and whatever normal is. But, you know, as you say, voyeurism is part of the interest in what are these people doing? And, hey, I'm like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's reassuring.
It is.
It's educational.
Mm-hmm. Well, giving somebody the confidence to bring their kink out of a closet and into a munch, to a play space, to other people. This is what it's all about, is getting out and enjoying the kink.
Yeah, and when you're lucky enough to live in a community like Minneapolis, there's a lot of groups here, a lot of orientations, kink tastes, just plain old parties. So it's a rich place. And one of the shout outs that I should probably give, I've only done this twice, but even if you do this only once or twice, if you're comfortable in your kink community and you have events that you like going to, don't hesitate to take somebody new who you meet online. And if they're nervous about going to a munch, offer to accompany them. A lot of people have a lot of pent up fear about walking through that door the first time and seeing a bunch of people and finding out, you know, one of the big things that they need to find out is that we are very serious about consent in this world, that you're not going to go to some munch in a pizza joint and suddenly be jumped by 20 people, that you're going to be welcomed.
The one thing to keep in mind for anybody that's new out there that's looking to get into this, it is a public place and nothing will happen to you in this public place. That's the thing that has to be emphasized. The people that are sitting around the table are just like you and me, and they're we are normal in an abnormal kind of way, whatever normal is, because everybody has their own version of normal.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with entering the community and saying, nah, this isn't for me, and deciding, no, you don't need to come back. But I think more often than not, with a good introduction, somebody getting to meet some other good, like-minded people, it clicks.
Like any group, whether it's the meeting at the school or a church or what have you, you're going to run into somebody that maybe rubs you the wrong way, you don't like. But don't discount the experience by one person. work your way around, talk to different people. And whoever's running the Munch, go talk to them and let them introduce you and kind of tell them what you might be interested in. And they'll find somebody sitting at the table that's probably into the same thing, and you can sit and talk about it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. My very first Munch ever, I was terrified. Obviously, I'd been in the community a while, and I had a friend, just, she kept inviting me. And I just, this was before I knew you, obviously. And she wanted me to go, and I finally went. I don't know how I got the courage to go. But then she said, oh, but I can't be there that night. So I'm going to have my friend, she'll be there for you. She's going to, and she really did. And it was amazing. I walked in and she told me who to look for, and I found her, and she took me under her wing, and she just, like, you know, introduced me to people and acted like she was kind of my protector. And, you know, not that I needed it. It was a great place, and it was the back room of a public place. And it was a photography Munch, actually. So I just looked around, and there were all these people that were just all different ages and types and male, female, everything. And that's not. And just everybody was there just talking to each other and being nice and accepting each other. And I've never walked into a place of strangers where I actually felt more welcome. And I was just hooked.
How long ago was this?
That was 5 years ago now.
Yeah, we didn't know one another then. It took quite a while. Mm-hmm. So
in 5 years, you have adopted a whole community, and I guess you have lots of friends throughout the community now.
I consider people in this community better friends than people I've known for 20, 30 years right now.
And I think, like a lot of people, we know these people at two different levels. We know them in the kinky settings, and we know them just going out and, well, we used to go out with them a year ago, going out and having a meal with them, hanging out, talking on the phone. So, I mean, that's one of the great things about the community at large.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that when we were able to get together, I would have a group of kinksters over to the house just for game night, and it turned into a kind of a gourmet feast deal and some good wines and different things. And the talk around the table was so relaxed because you could talk about sex or whatever or how you feel without having to shade your words from a family member that doesn't know what you're into, or a very judgmental friend, which I have plenty of, that tell me I'm going straight to hell. So
me too.
We both keep our activity in the community to ourselves amongst general friends.
We have separate, it's kind of our separate life.
Yeah, but we have two circles of friends, like a lot of us do. But it is kind of refreshing to be able to talk about sex freely without feeling any shame. I came from an industry in the public sector where I say that the majority of the people that I worked with were pretty uptight. Mm-hmm. And so this is a whole new thing for me.
It gives you the ability to breathe a little bit. You know, when you're so uptight all the time, trying to hold yourself in your authentic self, it's difficult. And so to the people that you've known for 20, 30 years, you have this face that they know, which may not be you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not all of you. And the people in this community accept all of me. You know, even the boring vanilla parts too, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, yeah. And we also find that the people that we're friends with share the same kind of everyday problems with relationships that people do anywhere. And, it may get a little more complicated, especially our friends that are in polyamorous relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, we end up, more so Ginger than me, but we end up consoling our friends quite a bit over relationship issues.
Well, just as much as I console my monogamous friends in the other world, it's just that it's nice that we can talk about more topics in this world than we can in the vanilla world.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody's pouring their heart out to you over a relationship, and the fact that you don't mind if there's 2, 3, or 5 people in it versus just a one-on-one, you can be a better friend to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Ginger, we heard how you got into the scene 5 years ago at the Munch. How about you, Mr. Morningwood?
I can still remember early on that I was really hoping somewhere or other to find a more sex-positive community, just something online, something to see. And I kind of you know, heard about FetLife, and I thought, well, I'll take a look into it, probably the same way that a journalist covers a story, that you don't really participate in it, but you can be on the sidelines and you can check out what these people are about and find out what this whole community is about. And I remember at the time, this goes back about 7 years ago, I think it was 2014, seeing the splash page where you're invited to join or sign in. And, you know, there were two couples lounging on a couch in glittery outfits. I don't know how many of us still remember that splash page. And giant letters saying the world's biggest BDSM community. And I, for some reason or other, found it daunting. So I held off and then a week later signed in and really enjoyed it and started meeting people in the community. And I had one friend, she's a mutual friend of ours today, who was very kind to me. And she took me around and introduced me to events. So I went to my first couple of munches with her, went to a party with her. It was in that case, it was a swingers party. Neither of us are swingers and neither of us were doing any swapping or adventuring that way. But that was the eye opener. That was the beginning of the voyeurism.
How did you feel when you are sitting on the sideline watching people? How did that affect you?
Very profoundly. I mean, I enjoyed it. The first party of that kind that I went to was in a really cool place. It was a converted church way out in the country. It was about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive from Minneapolis. Church was converted into a conference center with all these little side rooms and a big kitchen and a big common room. The most striking thing of all is that people were absolutely free. People were naked, they were clothed, they were kissing and hanging out, or they were in the side rooms getting it on. And everybody was very open about it. The conversations were great. I wasn't at all intimidated by it. I mean, the one thing that I hoped going to that, and that friend and I went to a handful of parties like that back in my earliest days. One thing that I hoped is that I was going to see some great lovers who had some incredible technique and learn something from them. But it was a lot of fun observing people, but a lot of what goes on in those parties, because I think that people are bringing their apprehensions and whatnot, especially if they're, you know, doing something with somebody new, was very conventional, but the freedom of it was what was so intriguing. And, you know, so that was the first of that part of the community that I got to see. And then venturing out later into BDSM parties, what became obvious is that there is kind of a cleft between the two sides of the community. And the people at the BDSM parties will comment, well, you know, those people at swinger parties, they're just having sex. And the people at the swingers parties comment, well, they're just hurting one another at the BDSM events. And so since Ginger and I are comfortable in both worlds, we're still probably 90% observers and there for the conversation and whatnot. It's fun seeing both aspects.
It's interesting how those stereotypes exist.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we've also seen events where swing community and kink community come together and they go off in cliques and stay with each other.
Yeah, I could believe that. I mean, the one thing that was very reassuring, and I, you know, I'm sure that there's going to be some people who are fairly new to the community. They're going to be hearing this program and a lot of the other programs that in your series. What strikes me as interesting is that, you know, I've probably been to 50 some events by now, and I can only recall one time where I've seen untoward behavior where somebody had to be escorted out of the party. It turned out that was actually a woman's ex-boyfriend who came back and was probably not in a condition where he should have been at the party. When you consider the vulnerability that all of us are at attending these parties, whether we are, you know, whether we're doing a scene, whether we're being tied up, whether we're on a cross, whether we're on a bed having sex with somebody, there's a lot of vulnerability there, but the conduct is amazingly good, universally.
In our experience, the consent seems to really be the key in both communities, in both sides of it, the BDSM and the swingers. We really saw that consent was, in our cases, number one. We know that that's not always the case. We've definitely heard of bad situations, but for us, we've been pretty fortunate, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And we certainly within the kinky world, with NCSF pushing consent counts and keeping it very visible, the ones that end up violating that are often shunned or certainly pointed out.
Yeah, it's hard to get over that, I've heard. You know, I've heard stories of people who were either genuinely or falsely accused of something, and it's a hard hurdle to overcome. But, you know, there's enough fun to go around by just behaving and obeying the rules and being conscious of consent. So we were pretty lucky in that the last party that we went to before before lockdown was a very big swingers party. There's, I don't know, what do you think, 80 to 100 people there?
At least.
Big house, big rambling house with lots of rooms.
Bursting.
Yeah. And just the variety of what was going on, room to room, being able to observe how different people are playing, the conversations that are happening. It was really fun. The one interesting thing, and we just discussed this the other day, there's a main common hallway at this party. And you're going back and forth from room to room to see what's going on, see where your friends are. And something that was happening quite often is that guys coming the opposite direction would give me a look. They would look over at Ginger. They would give me a nod. And it didn't take long for me to figure out that that's an unspoken signal that if you are here to get into cuckold play, I'm ready. I mean, she looks interesting. Let's do that. And I would just have to give a no. But the funny thing is that this probably happened a dozen times in the course of the couple of hours that we were at the party, and Ginger was unaware that it was going on. I think the guys are used to doing it fairly discreetly, but it really cracks me up.
I had no idea what was going on. I thought I was just walking through.
And this
with
this
my guy.
This party literally happened like 2 or 3 days before the announcement of a national lockdown, and we didn't have this conversation until probably a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. So
had no idea.
Yeah.
Pretty much through the COVID restrictions, many swinger clubs have still been open.
Good luck to them.
Well,
it's a risk.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that your program always talks about playing safe, being safe. And, you know, we miss our friends terribly. And we're exchanging a lot of notes with people that we haven't seen. And we really enjoy seeing either socially or at events.
We are aware that there are people we know who are still doing that. And it's hard because we'd love to go party with them, but we are not willing to take those risks. And we know that some of our friends are. And
It is. And it has separated a lot of people, and it's mm-hmm. separated friendships because of belief systems and what have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad that there's a lot of politics wrapped up in it and identity issues. So
there's politics within my blood family here because of that same sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Mine too.
We could certainly go off on a tangent on that, but we're not going to.
No.
Please don't. There's a lot of writing going on your pages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had been writing a little bit of erotica, but it never went anywhere. It was just kind of my personal thoughts. And I started writing things on that I was posting on FET. And I was surprised. Now, I think in the time that I've been in FET, that the membership has doubled. I think it was about 3 million people when I got in, and it's now closer to 7 million. And so all told, I have probably 400 posts up. Some of it is just garbage. I mean, there are a lot of haikus there, and I have no idea what caused me to write them. But some of the things that I wrote got a lot of attention. I really haven't posted much in a couple of years. What I realized is that writing and posting 3 or 4 times a week came to be nearly a full-time job because you post something, you get a lot of questions about it, if it's a good piece. And I was always courteous about returning messages to people.
Including me.
Including you. actually, there's a funny story about how we met.
Okay, I'm game.
We live very close to what was, and I think still may be, the biggest mall in America, in the country, the Mall of America. It's enormous. And there are lots of these little kiosks that are in the hallway selling makeup and junk and phone cases. And I was walking down the corridor, and this guy, I think with an Iranian accent, came up to me, and he wanted to show me what he was selling. And it was an eSTIM machine. And he said, he's being very hurried. And he said, "You know what it is?" And I said, "Yeah, it's an eSTIM machine." He said, "You know what it for?" And I said, "Yeah, some people use it for kinky sex." And in that moment, his eyes flared, his face went blank, and he stepped backwards from me, and he shook his head, and he said, "No, I don't think so." So Ginger had apparently been reading some of my junk and had never contacted me or said hello, even though we, in reality, we're physically quite close to one another in town here. And she said, "I saw your piece." And it went from there, and we met shortly thereafter, and there you go.
I just commented on that one piece finally because it was really funny the way he wrote it. And I'd been reading some of his stuff because we have mutual friends, and you know, I liked his erotic stuff, but I was not about to write to him about it. I thought, well, what does he care what I think? He's a stranger, he's a writer, and I'm not, you know, whatever. But I had no idea that like women just, that's what they do. They write to him and they flirt with him, they do all this stuff. And I was just like, why would I write to him? I like his stuff, but I'm not going to tell him that until he wrote something funny. And then I had to write to him just say that was really funny. And that's what connected us.
Yeah. And then he chose you over all the women that wrote to him for comments.
Well, a funny thing, and Ginger didn't really believe this, but hardly anybody in the local scene, I mean, with a couple of friends that just knew me already, but very few people in the local scene knew that I had written all of these pieces. One of the pieces that I wrote, and it got at least 4,000 loves, and this goes back quite a few years. This is back about 5 years ago, but I wrote a piece on how to eat pussy, and that is in fact the title of it. And it just, you know, it blew up, and it got all of these loves. It doesn't show that many loves now because the piece got stolen. It's been stolen several times and published by other people. Every now and then I'll do a Google search and I'll see that somebody's taken it, and they change it to how I eat pussy, and then they post it on, you know, some site outside. The blogs are always very good about taking it down as soon as they file complaint. But I made it a private piece, and then all of a sudden the number of loves that are on it show. It doesn't show as many loves these days, but
disappeared.
Yeah. But like I say, I haven't really been posting much for the last couple of years, but the stuff is there. The other funny thing about if you write for FET, there's a couple of great things and there's a couple of funny things. One is that if you aren't posting on a regular basis, you don't get people kind of strolling through your page to see what you've written. So every, you know, I will get, you know, once every couple of weeks, somebody will find something that I wrote 4 years ago and it surprises me, and they'll give it a love or whatever. But there's a lot of stuff that's still there, but I really don't devote the attention to it. I want to turn my attention now to maybe writing some pieces that will go into erotica anthologies or audiobooks or something like that. That may be the next step for me.
And you're not the only writer in the family. Miss Ginger, you have outdoor public sex. Is it just us? What's that about?
Well, as much as we like watching other people, we kind of also really like to find unique places to have fun. So we've been out in public many times where we will find a place to hide away and have sex, parks and libraries and restaurants and clubs.
Is there a little exhibitionist in the voyeur here?
Well, kind of. I realize it is. Yeah, it is. But it's not that I don't want an audience. But if like I thought maybe one or two people are just kind of peeking at us, it kind of would be titillating.
Makes a little edgy.
Well, yeah, it's like the risk, the danger of it. So that's fun. But so, yeah, so we do like to keep that fresh, to just keep finding places that are fun to go out and just have fun. And yeah, I don't want to get arrested. I don't want an audience, but yeah, because it just adds to everything. And then when I see other people that I think maybe, you know, if I see a couple come out of the woods, I think, oh, I wish I would have been back there to see if they were, you know, doing what we were doing.
Yeah, truth be told, we have never said, hey, let's go out tonight and find a spot. It's always been, we're out on a walk, we're out on a drive or something.
Bike ride.
And a bike ride. And before we know it, we're distracted. Once on the banks of the Mississippi, going through a park, there was a little nestled in place that was on a bluff about 20 feet up above the water. And all of a sudden there are fishing boats going by out on the river. Now they would have had to be paying attention to see us, but it is kind of titillating in a way.
It's something that a lot of people like to do, or, you know, they think that they're getting away with something. I know that I've had some lovely Rocky Mountain high sex way up on the Rockies and had some great fun doing it. And I did hear footsteps off in the distance. So, you know, there's that little
adds to
giveaway.
Yeah. Another one, there's a really fun bar over in the University of Minnesota area, and they have three adjacent fairly large bathrooms downstairs. And I remember that I had, you know, finished my trip to the bathroom and I opened the door and there was nobody outside. So I just grabbed Ginger and pulled her in. But what was really fun is that you can hear the conversation, all the adjoining bathrooms. And you know, at one point, three girls went into the, I assume it's three girls. It sounded like three young girls went in there and they're laughing about this, that, and the other thing. And it's just kind of, like this otherworldly thing that here we are getting into mischief. At the same time, they're you know, a thin wall away laughing about something. But you never forget those experiences. I think everybody should have some. And if you're listening right now, get in your car and go have one somewhere, or go walk around and have one right now.
Just don't get arrested.
No, don't get arrested. One of our favorite places is actually we're right up the hill from a police station too. So. Never mind.
It's that risky, edgy thing that you got going on there.
Yeah, I guess so.
Tell me about the picture that we're using on the show tonight. It's a red background and the two of your hands making a heart. Where was that?
A dear friend of ours is a very avid photographer who participates in a photo club, and they have monthly themed photos that they're supposed to take and submit for competition. And that one was actually taken at the Guthrie Theater, which is one of the nation's best repertory theaters. And it's also funny how everything is on the bank of the Mississippi for us. It's on the bank of the Mississippi, and that's a hallway that extends out to kind of this floating, unsupported balcony where you can look over the river and the beautiful Stone Arch Bridge. And there just was a red panel of light. And she said to us, why don't you guys do something together? And that's what sprung up. And for anybody curious from all the other kinkery that we've mentioned here, it's a very G-rated photo.
There's nothing kinky about it.
Absolutely nothing.
And that's
but
why
it's cute.
We used but it for the show because I got slapped by Facebook here recently. And so I'm having to calm down the show logos a little bit. And, gotcha. And that was a good one for you guys. You know, you love each other. It's all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So there are also there's some fun pictures that we have taken on weekends away. And if you want to see, you know, a little sample of the kind of exhibitionism that is not uncommon for us, there is a really beautiful picture of Ginger standing in basically a floor to ceiling window in a hotel. Am I embarrassing you? Not be saying this?
No, I know it's there. It's out there.
You've never asked me to take it down.
No.
So you encouraged me to put it up.
I like it. It's weird to hear you talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Such modesty.
But there's also an impending story that's going to come out of, I mean, that's inspiring, a story that I've written some notes for about a couple in you know, the 15th floor of a building, and fun ensues, and there's a question about who is seeing this fun across the street in the adjoining building. I mean, this is a very dense downtown area, and you know, there's a building with construction workers on the remodeling an office suite, and maybe they saw it, maybe they didn't. We don't know.
And that's kind of the fun of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yep. And you know, when I see windows like that, you know, if I'm in on a high floor of a building or just walking down the street or whatever, I look in windows. I do. I mean, I don't sit and, you know, peep in the bushes or whatever, but I do want to look up in a window, and maybe it's some, you know, as I'm walking downtown, there's condos, and I want to see something. I hope that I see something. I hope that I see other people taking these risks, and I always hope that there's going to be something in a window that I glance in. And
we never seem to get it, but if we have any fat friends out there who want to arrange such a thing, if they want to give us a time,
at
8 o'clock next Saturday, we'll be in the 10th floor of the Marquette Inn. So take a look and maybe take a picture from across the street.
There you go.
We're always hoping.
Yeah.
Guys, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. You know, you're a delightful couple and into a lot of fun things and lighthearted. It's really nice to hear about that. And someday when we actually get back in the public world again with our friends, we can get back to where we left off.
Can't wait.
And maybe someday when my work sector gets going again, I'll be coming down to Nashville and you can show us the town.
The studio is open. Come on down, as they say.
Okay.
Fun.
All right. Well, thank you again, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to episode 375 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of all our kinky crew, I'm Max.